It's time now for Phenology Talkbacks. Funding for this is provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. Phenology Talkbacks are produced by Charlie Mitchell. And our first report comes from Charlie near Stillwater.
Good morning, John and Heidi. During our canoe excursions this week, my wife and I discovered that the floods have wrought some really impressive changes to the St. Croix River. In our area, the river is generally a third to a half mile wide. The main channel itself is just a tenth of a mile wide, so most of the area, most of the width of the river is comprised of islands and backwater areas. And so there are a lot of these small channels that interlink the backwaters to the main channel and weave through the islands and so on. Haley and I have a couple favorites that we like to travel frequently because they generally have less boat traffic and more wildlife. One of our favorite ones is this very fast kind of S-shaped stream that leads from the main channel into this really beautiful backwater area filled with all sorts of wildlife. And when we headed that way this weekend, we discovered that this whole portion of land had sunk under and washed away. And the S shape that was there is now just kind of this thin squiggle. And even the current running through the area has completely changed. Where it was once a very fast current that went in the opposite direction of the main flow of the river, it's now this very large, slow-moving pool. It's very disconcerting to like paddle through this area that's changed so much. But it's also really interesting to see that geology happening on a small scale right in front of us. Since the floodwaters have risen and it seems like all of the lily pads and arrowheads and cattails that had been coming up are either so far underneath I can't see them anymore or they've died, I don't know which, I was wondering what happens to all of like the small fishes and frogs and dragonflies and other critters that are usually found in those habitats. Do they find other places? Do their populations just evaporate for a year or so until they can kind of rebuild? I wasn't sure if you had any insights on that. And then the last thing I wanted to mention is that we have had this wonderful flood of fledglings visiting our bird feeder in the last week. We've got active families of rose-breasted grosbeaks, chickadees, hairy woodpeckers, downy woodpeckers, red-bellied woodpeckers, and a family of cardinals all visiting our feeders. And then we have multiple families of house wrens that are building nests nearby. So I hope you guys are doing well. That's all for me. This has been Charlie Mitchell going hither and thither on the St. Croix River.
Hey, Charlie. Thanks for that great report. I'd love to accompany you guys on that trip. My first reaction is it's probably like the little frogs and all of those animals, they're going to follow the zooplankton. They're going to go where the food is. And I think, you know, if you're used to living in this little stream and suddenly it's, you know, 12 feet wider, you just move up into shallower water, get up to where the plants are above water or at least, in the water, and then exploit those resources. And then as the water, recedes, I expect they'll swim back down to their previous locations and recover. I'm not clear on that, but I know if I were a frog, I'd follow the food. Always. If you're looking for me, look for the beer tent and the food tent. That's where I'll be. The other thing that she mentioned was fledglings, and I've had Phoebe's fledge. My friend Kyle Pearson had Phoebe's fledge. There's just been a bunch of that stuff going on. Their first crop of young birds is out. And I've seen a couple of monarch butterflies that look much better, much newer than the old ones. And I think that they are, they've come along after their parents, their mothers and fathers flew up here from Kansas or Oklahoma or wherever. But we're in our second generation of monarchs now. I'm still seeing a few tiger swallowtails with that crowd too. So lots of things going on, absolutely. I got a really nice note from our friend Carol, who lives up in Eveleth. And she went to Saxim Bog for a field trip with Clinton Dexter Nienhaus, and the topic was native plants and pollinators. It was a pleasantly windy day, thus the mosquitoes weren't as fierce as they would have been otherwise. Among the takeaways for me is a changed attitude on the common evening primrose. Truth be told, I haven't much appreciated this way, the way this native plant pops up in my yard every once in a while and becomes 5 or 6 feet tall. I learned it is a host plant for the tiny pink and yellow primrose moth, which looks rather like a smaller version of the rosy maple moth. When I got home, I found that I do indeed have an evening primrose in my yard this year, and I'm looking forward to observing it closely some evening when it starts to bloom to see if I can find any of these tiny primrose moths. It's a biennial, so blooms the second year, and then it's done. We also saw a goldenrod crab spider enjoying the afternoon on a yarrow flower. This spider is one that changes color from yellow to white and yellow when it's on a buttercup or other yellow flower, and then over the course of a week on the yarrow flower, it becomes white. It has crab-like front legs, which can be used to catch prey even larger than itself, like flies. The hair on its body aid in pollination. It's harmless to humans. We also learned about timothy grass, which is a native of Europe and was introduced to this country in the early 18th century as an agricultural product. Now it can be found almost everywhere along our roadsides and gardens. Interestingly enough, it is the host plant for another European native, the European skipper butterfly. So this pairing of the two European natives continues on this continent. These are just a few of the many things that Clinton talked about, and more field trips are listed on the website via Friends of Sac-Zim. Thank you, Carol, for that nice note. The interesting thing that I found about timothy grass, that's it. I think every young kid that's ever walked in a field has probably plucked up a timothy grass and stuck it in their teeth. It's the one, it's a long, thin stem, round, of course, because it's a grass. And then at the end, you have like this cigar-shaped head that is very compact. So you all know this plant. It's a really common grass. And it is the one that you would stick in your teeth, and that cigar-like piece out there sort of bobs up and down as you're walking along. And if you're lucky, sometimes when you pull that out, you'll slide that grass stem apart, and the white part at the end will have just a tiny bit of sugar in it, which makes it kind of interesting too. Yeah. Well, as far as I know, Heidi, I did have one more talk back from Wanda, and Wanda was asking a bunch of questions about robins, and she has some pretty accurate observations of several robins that are nesting in her yard, and we'll cover that. I wanted to get more details. She asked me a question about the success of robins. How many of the baby robins that are hatched actually fledge? And her number was 40%. I haven't been able to pin that down, but I'm working on it, and we'll figure that out as soon as we can.
We also, Charlie was checking out the Season Watch Facebook page, and there's a lot of action going on there. People have observed young orioles feeding at fruit and jelly feeders, fuzzy cygnets swimming with their parents, and a beautiful crab spider sitting on a lady slipper. And some of Charlie's favorites from Season Watch include Don Gunderson's photos of a gray fox and an incredible set of close-up images of colorful fungi near Bemidji, taken by the aptly named Josh Spore.
Really? Yeah. Heidi, you and I sort of one day decided that that might be an interesting thing to do. And here we are now with, last time I checked, I think there were 8,500.
I know. Back in the
Well,
days, you thought I was a little bit nuts. You were like, no, not social media. And I'm like, people will want to do this. And we started with the ice boating kind of group, didn't we? Is
yes.
that how it began?
Yep.
And saw how much people wanted to connect over things in nature. And I often tell people it's like one of the very few really good things about social media is the Season Watch Facebook page. It's all nature. No politics, no nothing.
That's where I am.
Yeah.
I don't contribute much to any social media, but if I do, it has to do with nature. That's what I talk about.
Check out the Season Watch page. It's available on Facebook. You can also find more phenology reports and information at kexe.org, including a way to sign up for that Season Watch newsletter. It goes out once a week with lots of great information.